Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, Radio Family. This is Sister Glass, and I praise the Lord that you are able to join me today. It's good to get together at the same time every day. We're heard Monday through Friday on this station, and I look always forward to sharing this time with you. And I'd like to, on today's broadcast, begin reading a few verses found in Romans, the 8th chapter, verses 1 through 3. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. There's a condition there, though, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me, and all of us, free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Paul is stating emphatically that as sons of God, as children of God, you and I are no longer subject to the law of sin and death. Now, obviously, immortality has not been brought to light yet. Our physical bodies, unless Jesus comes and we are raptured and we're changed into His glorious body to have that same incorruptible new body that we'll have when the Lord comes, that unless that happens, we will go by the way of the grave, that the death is working in our members, but our spirits are alive. We will never die. And when we who love the Lord and serve Him die, well, that's just an avenue, a door, if you will, into the very presence of the Lord. Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so it's just, the New Testament refers to it as a sleep as far as this world is concerned, but our loved ones that have gone on ahead, you can be certain they are very much alive. And I don't know all that's going on in heaven, but I know they're having a wonderful time, and it's a time of preparation, because Jesus gave it away. He said, in my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I'm going. What is He doing? He's preparing a place for us. So that means there's some finishing touches. It's not all complete. He's preparing. He's in the process of preparing. And so what a wonderful time, what a wonderful future we have to look forward to. But nonetheless, spiritually, we are no longer subject to the law of sin and death, because it was through sin that death came. But there is a condition, and that is if we walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The righteousness of the law is imputed to the new creature through Jesus Christ, because Jesus said, I didn't come to do away with the law, but I came to fulfill it. And there are two things that the Apostle Paul is talking about in this 8th chapter of Romans. He's talking about the carnal mind, and he's talking about the flesh. Now, the Word of God is so rich. We look at Abraham, the life of Abraham, and he was, for all of us, the father of the faithful. He was the father of the Jews, and for those who are accept Jesus as Savior, as Lord, we become also an heir of Abraham. There's the Gentiles and the Jews are made into one new man. We're one in Christ Jesus. But when God promised Abraham a son, He waited until he was advanced in years, 100 years old. God kept that promise nonetheless. But There was a problem. Flesh did get in the way. It's hard for us as humans to wait on God. And it was hard for Abraham and Sarah. Sarah progressed way past the time of childbearing when Isaac was born. And so he was really a miracle child. So Sarah, as the years passed, she was the wife of Abraham. She bore him no children. And that was a reproach in that day. And even though God had promised a son, still, she was barren. So, just like all of us, she devised a little scheme, something that would work. And of course, in those days, this was quite an acceptable practice. She had a handmaid, an Egyptian woman whose name was Hagar. And so, Sarah persuaded Abraham to take Hagar as his wife, and after 10 years in Canaan, he listened to his wife, he obeyed her, and Hagar conceived a child by the name of Ishmael. But he was not the child of promise. And Hagar, what happened then is interesting. After seeing that she had conceived, she turned on Sarah, her mistress, and despised her. And if I can draw a comparison, there are many who are, if you will, of the household of faith. Both Isaac and both Ishmael were the legitimate and true sons of Abraham, and yet they were quite different in terms of the promise, and they were different in the way they conducted their lives. And if you will, I'll draw a comparison between the true living Church of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ, churchianity, which is has a form of godliness but denies God's power, and true Christianity. It's the true seed, the promise of God, with that which man has concocted or come up, if you will. So let me read now, continuing on in Romans the 8th chapter, verses 4 through 16. In verse 3, I need to read that. God sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. And then it goes on to complete that sentence in verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. We can claim that for today, can't we? Amen. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, the Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Praise God. Blessed be the Lord. So you and I, beloved, are the sons of God. And the experience of divine sonship is not a profession, but rather it is a possession. Praise God. Now, Paul said to mortify the deeds of the flesh. We can do that through the Holy Spirit. What does that mean, that word mortify? Well, according to Webster, it means to discipline the flesh. Now, if you deny the Father, if you deny Jesus Christ, if you don't believe that the Word of God is true, and if you think the Apostle Paul didn't know what he was talking about, well, spiritually you are very, very wrong. Paul is talking about the old man. Now, verse 11 shows us that it's possible for some not to have God's Spirit dwelling in them. Now note Paul's words. He said, God's Spirit will give you the strength and the power to mortify the deeds of the mortal body, or the old man, the carnal man. And if you, brothers and sisters, allow the past to remain with you, if you've not killed the past and reckoned it dead, and if you consider yourself or reckon yourself to be as one raised from the dead, a new creature, that is the old man. What happens then? The old man is dead, and the new man, Christ Jesus, is alive in your entire being. So if you allow, however, the past, and if you are living and thinking and having the same attitudes as you did before you were saved, well, the old man is not dead. And that's why many are still going through the same things that they went through years ago. The same recriminations, the same guilt feelings. Satan is your accuser. And many, unfortunately, would rather listen to him than to God. Now, you know, they wouldn't want to admit that, they wouldn't think of it that way, but actually when we listen to his negative subjections of putting thoughts in our minds and bringing negative things and bringing condemnation and bringing recriminations, then we're not walking in the liberty that Christ has set us free with. Romans 6 and 11 says, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Webster states that the word reckon means to count or to calculate, to value, to think, to be of a certain opinion. I'm going to stop now in the ministry of the word, and I'll continue on tomorrow's broadcast, but never in all the years of my ministry have I felt in my spirit such a sense of expectation and longing for the body of Christ to come forth in the power and the glory of God. We're seeing the work of restoration moving forward on a new scale, that the Holy Spirit is moving in such a powerful way. And beloved, we need to share one another's burdens. God has just shown me how important it is to be in fellowship with our brothers and sisters, to have godly friends in ministry with whom we can share burdens and vision and victories. God wants us not as lone rangers. He wants us to connected. We simply can't walk alone anymore. And it's imperative that the body of Christ become one in the Spirit. And you, beloved, are a vital part of his body. I just want to thank you so much for your prayers and support. The announcer is going to give you our mailing address. I invite you to write. And I just want you to know I love you, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.